Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is The Dark Store Vision. I'm going to share with you a vision I had on April the 7th of this year, 2021. This is something very serious, and the Lord gave me this vision, and I've been working on it ever since the 7th. Today's the 28th of April. 2021. I've been working on it all this time to try to interpret it and understand its meaning before I told you about it. I was thinking about, I've been dieting. I've put myself on a very strict diet for several reasons. I visualize. And the reason I do that is because you cannot be anything you cannot see. You have to be able to be, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have to be able to see yourself like that. A lot of people who have lost hundreds of pounds in weight, inside they're still the fat person, and so they still act like the fat person, they still walk like the fat person, and it's detrimental to changing your life that way. So I was thinking about my progress, and I was imagining, because the only thing I could think of to visualize was that I never go anywhere. Y'all, I stay home all the time. And I like it that way. Home is the best place to be in my book. So the only place I really go is to the post office or to go pick up a grocery order or to the local grocery store. So I was picturing myself being slim and walking into the grocery store here. And I was starting to, you know, I wanted to start doing that every night, doing that visualization. They've only ever known me overweight here. Not hugely overweight, but probably 30 pounds. And so it's the way I motivate myself. So when I imagined walking into the store, a vision opened up. And the store was pitch black. And I said, why is it dark in the store, Lord? And I didn't like the darkness at all because it wasn't a normal darkness. It wasn't like somebody flipped off the lights. It was the other kind of darkness. And y'all know what I'm talking about. I looked around. I could not see. I was in the front of the store. I just walked in. I could not see the checkout stands. I could not see the cashiers. I could not see any other people. And I could not see any food. So I did what I always do when I'm in trouble. I looked up. And I saw the strangest sight in the store. I saw dark clouds gathering, like for a very bad. So we have stormy weather today, real severe thunderstorms moving through that have been spawning tornadoes in other places. And anyone who's from Tornado Alley or who has been in or near a tornado knows what I'm talking about when I say the storm clouds are gathering. It's when there's a buildup of the thunderheads and they get blacker and blacker and blacker. These clouds in the store were not raining yet. They were not lightning. I don't remember hearing thunder, but they were gathering, and it was clear it was not going to be a good storm. It was going to be one of those really rough storms. I remember thinking, I do not want to be in the store. I wanted out of that store. The darkness was just, it was very bad, and nothing made any sense. Nothing was normal. But outside in the parking lot, when I'd walked through the parking lot in my visualization to go into the store, everything looked like a normal day on the outside. Then I came out of the vision and I wrote down everything I saw. And I think it was, I want to say it was the next night, on April 10th, I began the same visualization process. I had not done it in between. And I was once again in the visualization. I was entering the store. And there was that awful darkness looming. And then I was jolted out of it by a loud crashing noise. It sounded like when two cars hit head on the highway, if you've ever heard that before. It's a terrible crash of metal. After the second vision, after I heard that crash of metal sound, I wondered if that was representative of the economic crash that the Lord has been telling me since 2009 was coming. I told Nicole about this vision, the first vision, on the phone, and we were talking about it on April 12th because I wanted to get her opinion on it. And she thought maybe the vision was a warning that meant that we should pray against it or that we could pray to prevent it. But I asked the Lord, and He told me, no, it has to come, but we can pray for provision for our own families. So this is one of those events that He told us we will pray for it to stop, but He will not be able to answer those prayers because it all has to be fulfilled that the end can come and we can go home. You know, I get a lot of emails from people going, I'm trying to tell my family, you know, they're not listening and all of this. And I happen to think, you know, my church's small congregation is almost all older people, many in their 70s and 80s. I notice that it's harder to inspire them. And this may be because they remember the 1960s revival and all the hippies holding up their "the end is near" signs, and here we are some 60 years later and the end still hadn't come, so they probably just aren't buying it, you know, until it shows up. They figure that we probably have another 60 years and they don't need to be concerned. So that may possibly be the reason some of your families are not listening, I'm just saying. So the dark store vision. A store is a place where we obtain our food supply. And for the store to go dark, to me, either means it's closed or there's no food availability. That would be the two things that I would think that would mean, because if the store is dark, you can't go in there and buy any food. I mean, everybody knows if a store is closed, you can't go buy food, right? The storm clouds gathering, I am not sure. I looked up words that had to do with storms on the Just Praise Him site, and there are quite a few. There's one from April 28th, 2011 called "This Storm Will Come Upon You Quickly." And it says, "The storm you see gathering will indeed be a fierce one, and the wind and rains will beat down on the good and the evil alike." And it says a lot of other stuff. And there's some other, Sue and Dina, Rover Radar in the comments, my assistant, she can give you probably a link that links all the storm words, but there were a number of other ones. There was one called "Make Ready" that says, "This storm will shock all nations with its strength." That's from June 17, 2015. In a lot of these, he kind of tells us, you know, what we should be doing and that sort of thing. On December 15th, 2017, there's a word called "a storm is coming" when he says, "Get your affairs in order. A storm is coming that is unlike any you've seen before, and you must be ready." Now, that one has a note on it, that a vision that I saw when he was speaking the word. He said, "You must be watching for this storm to arrive, that you may navigate it properly, that you may endure it." In the note, in the spirit, when he spoke that, I saw a captain navigating a fishing boat. I still remember seeing this. He knew he was going into a storm, and he was standing tall, completely alert, watching for the first signs, for he had a plan of how to navigate through it. He knew it was a bad one, but he also knew his knowledge and experience were a match for it. And the Lord said, "Be versed in my word in every area, be watching, and this storm is coming very soon." Now, that was 2017. There's one called "The Wind of Change" from January 2nd, 2018, that I reposted on July 16th, 2020, that talks about a wind coming through and sweeping plenteousness from the land of America. But that may or may not have to do with the storms, I don't know. But there are more. Just telling y'all, I think that he gave us clues to this storm in some of those words. That's why I'm mentioning them. I also wondered, because the Lord often shows me different pieces of the same event in different visions. And I wondered if the blighted wheat vision that I had last spring, where I saw the wheat, you know, all torn up laying on the ground, I wonder if that had anything to do with it, if something's coming that's going to, you know, kill the food crops really bad. And I also had a vision where I saw people that were middle and upper class standing in a food pantry line. And these were really, really well-dressed people. And I was like, "Lord, why are they standing in a food pantry line?" And I don't remember him answering that. He may have answered. It seems like he said there's no food to buy or something like that, but I'll have to find where I wrote that vision down. But I do wonder if that had something to do with this vision of the dark store. I know it is discomforting for us to think about not being able to buy food or enough food, but until all this happens, the evil ones in power can't truly force the mark of the beast, can they? And we know that's what they want to do. When the mark comes out, it will be heralded as a good thing. It will be heralded as the answer to the problem of not being able to buy food or enough food or whatever. And the unsaved will run to get it, not realizing it's evil masquerading as good, and that they are trading their souls for a bowl of lentils, like Esau did. I know what it's like to be hungry and for long periods of time. I look almost anorexic in photos of me in my young adult years, and it was not because I didn't want food, but because there wasn't enough food. So you ate what there was and you did not complain. You just make do with whatever you have. It is not fun to be hungry. And I remember times in my childhood being in school and I couldn't concentrate on schoolwork because all I could think about was food because I was so hungry. I remember those times. And when you've lived through that, you know that you can go without food for one thing, but it's not pleasant if you have to. Not fun to be hungry, and even less fun when you're starving and you have no food at all. But it's not the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life either. I would take that over a number of things I've been through. So I want to remind you that the food supply on earth is going to run out, but the supply of the King of Kings will never run out, okay? If I'm here in that time, I'm getting my food from there, from him. Those of you who have listened to me for a while may remember the story I'm about to tell, but I like it so much that I'm going to tell it again. It's really good. I will encourage you because I saw something in it today I never saw before. I saw how it could relate to us not having food in this time. Do y'all remember when the Lord told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith that he had already commanded the ravens to feed him there? That story is found in 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So Elijah called a drought in, which would cause a famine. And if I remember right, he did this to King Ahab, Jezebel's husband. And he wasn't any nicer than Jezebel. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan." In other words, God said, "Elijah, get out of town now." Because, I mean, that was like the kind of thing that a king would just have you executed for. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, because he called for a drought. Okay, well, Perry Stone told the story that he was in Israel, I believe, on one of his trips, and he saw, I forgot what he called it, but it was basically this big thing that had an engraving on it, like for a picture. And it showed an open window, apparently to the king's palace, and there were a bunch of ravens on the table taking the food off the table. And Perry said, "So the ravens fed Elijah from the king's table, y'all." So I just want you to know that you and I can also be fed from the king's table. Why else would God show us that in the Bible? So I wanted to mention this too in relation to that. I was thinking about the open window where the ravens got inside to get the food. And it reminded me of a scripture. God showed me this today. I'd never seen this before. There are actually three scriptures that I could find in the King James Version with the phrase "windows of heaven" in them. And in every one, the Hebrew words used are the same, and it means windows of heaven. It means what it appears to mean. Genesis 7:11. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, so the rains came from the windows of heaven." Okay? The rains had to be, that's why they're telling us the windows of heaven. So the rain had to have come from heaven. That was when God sent the flood to destroy everything and everybody on the earth except Noah and his family. Okay, then Genesis 8:2. "The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained." So this means the rains were restrained through the windows of heaven. Okay, so the rain came, the rain was restrained. Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So the windows of heaven are where the blessings are found. That's the tithing verse. That's the tithing promise verse, Malachi 3:10. And I think I've explained too, speaking of blessings, I think I've explained before the difference in a miracle and a blessing. Just in case, I'll do it again. A miracle is a supernatural event like a miraculous healing or deliverance or provision that meets a need. Okay. Miracles are for the purpose of witnessing to unbelievers. They're not really so much to give us something we need as they are to witness to the people that don't believe. Okay. A blessing, on the other hand, is an ongoing thing. It is ongoing health, ongoing provision. It keeps giving and giving. A miracle happens one time. The blessing keeps happening. So what you want are the blessings. I want to just remind you that the key to anything you need is knowing the Word of God, so that you can remind the Lord, okay, Lord, I really need some food right now. And you know, in your Word, you sent ravens to bring takeout to Elijah twice a day. So, you know, how are you going to remind him of what's in his Word if you don't know what's in his Word? You don't have to quote it chapter and verse. I can't quote hardly anything chapter and verse. I'm in the Word all the time. But you need to know what's in there, okay? I'm trying to help you. Please hear me on this. If you don't have time to sit down and read the Bible, or you can't understand it, then listen to sermons every minute that you can. Listen when you're commuting. Listen when you're cleaning house. Listen when you're walking your dogs. Listen, 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 because it will seep down and it will be absorbed into your spirit. And then those verses and those stories will come back up when you need them. Okay? You have to know these things if you want to be able to claim them. And that is what's going to help you. When there's no food in the stores, God has shown me numerous times that one of the reasons we will be so intensely persecuted in this time is because when everybody else is starving to death, we're going to walk around and we're going to have weight on us because we are eating full meals because He is feeding us. So that's why I'm not worried about this time, because He's going to feed us. He's shown me that over and over and over again. Otherwise, you're not going to have anything to eat unless you trade Jesus for the mark. So I'm just saying. Okay, I want to pray for y'all before I close here. Lord, I just lift every listener to this podcast, no matter when they listen, up to you right now before the throne. Lord, I pray that you would open their hearts to hear and to receive this word that you have given me. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help them to believe with all their hearts for the provision and know you as their provider, that they would come to see what a loving Father that you are and how gently and tenderly you care for your children and how much you care about everything that concerns us. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to remember to listen to the Word, that they would learn the Word, read the Word, and that the Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring the Word to all of our remembrance in our times of need. Help us to stand bold and stay true to you, Lord God, in that day if we are still here on the earth. We hope we're in heaven with you, but if we're still here, then please help us to stand bold and be unafraid. Lord God, we lift to you all of our lost loved ones. I know, Lord, the people listening, they have lost children, they have lost relatives, and we grieve over them, Lord. We are concerned, Lord, that they won't turn in time and give you their hearts and rend you their lives. And we pray, Lord God, that you would roll back the stones of unbelief from every heart, Lord, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand, Lord, that you are God. You are the one true God, and there is no other who can save them. There is no other who can help them. Lord, we pray that if you can arrange circumstances and save them now, that you would. But most of all, we pray that you will save them so that we will see them again in heaven, Lord God. And we're believing you to do that. I pray, Lord, that you will bless and prosper every one of the listeners, each one of them, Lord. You know what their needs are. And I pray that you would meet and exceed those needs. Like Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could think. Thank you, Lord, for doing a great work in each of our lives. Make us bold for you, Lord, and strong. Strong in your word, strong in your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week.